to reach to what, with Sir Henry Curtis, I hold to be the highest rank whereto we can attain, the state and dignity of English gentlemen. Introduction, December 23rd. I have just buried my boy, my poor handsome boy, of whom I was so proud, and my heart is broken. It is very hard, having only one son, to lose him thus. But God's will be done. Who am I that I should complain? The great wheel of fate rolls on like a juggernaut, and crushes us all in turn, some soon, some late. It does not matter when. In the end, it crushes us all. We do not prostrate ourselves before it like the poor Indians. We fly hither and thither. We cry for mercy. But it is of no use. The black fate thunders on, and in its season reduces us to powder. Poor Harry, to go so soon, just when his life was opening to him. He was doing so well at the hospital. He had passed his last examination with honors, and I was proud of them, much prouder than he was, I think. And then he must needs go to that smallpox hospital. He wrote to me that he was not afraid of smallpox and wanted to gain the experience. And now the disease has killed him. And I, old and gray and withered, am left to mourn over him without a chick or child to comfort me. I might have saved him, too. I have money enough for both of us, and much more than enough. King Solomon's mines provided me with that. But I said, no, let the boy earn his living, let him labor, that he may enjoy rest. But the rest has come to him before the labor. Oh, my boy, my boy. I am like the man in the Bible, who laid up much goods and builded barns, goods for my boy and barns for him to store them in. And now his soul has been required of him, and I am left desolate. I would that it had been my soul and not my boy's. We buried him this afternoon under the shadow of the gray and ancient tower of the church of this village where my house is. It was a dreary December afternoon, and the sky was heavy with snow. But not much was falling. The coffin was put down by the grave, and a few big flakes lit upon it. They looked very white upon the black cloth. There was a little hitch about getting the coffin down into the grave. The necessary ropes had been forgotten. So we drew back from it and waited in silence, watching the big flakes fall gently, one by one, like heavenly benedictions, and melt in tears on Harry's pall. But that was not all. A robin redbreast came, as bold as could be, and lit upon the coffin and began to sing. And then I am afraid that I broke down, and so did Sir Henry Curtis, strong man though he is. And as for Captain Good, I saw him turn away, too. Even in my own distress, I could not help noticing it. The above, signed Alan Quatermain, is an extract from my diary, written 2 years and more ago. I copy it down here because it seems to me that it is the fittest beginning to the history that I am about to write, if it please God to spare me to finish it. If not, well, it does not matter. That extract was penned 7,000 miles or so from the spot where I now lie painfully and slowly writing this, with a pretty girl standing by my side, fanning the flies from my august countenance. Harry is there, and I am here, and yet somehow I cannot help feeling that I am not far off Harry. When I was in England, I used to live in a very fine house. At least I call it a...